be willing to take risks, be comfortable outside your comfort zone, be the lead learner, and have a little fun along the way.
Welcome to a new episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. We're finishing up the year strong with some interviews, some solo episodes, and some ideas that you can take into 2024. If you're joining us in November and December, wishing you a great finish to the calendar year. If you're listening to this episode later on in the school year, welcome. Appreciate you stopping by. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, still here on the East Coast, and love to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. In this podcast episode, you'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events. I started the podcast in 2019, and each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Don't forget to head to classtechtips.com/podcast for the show notes for each and every episode. This episode is sponsored by Ozobot. Ozobot is redefining the role of robotics in education with award-winning programmable robots, patented screen-free coding programs, and STEAM-based learning solutions that transform the way students learn and create across all grades, subjects, and environments. And here's the exciting news. From Friday, November 24th, through Monday, November 27th, Ozobot is offering up to 50% off on select products, including the Evo Entry Kit with Evo, their award-winning coding robot. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to supercharge your classroom with these exciting learning solutions. Just visit shop.ozobot.com starting this Friday, November 24th to shop and save. That's shop.ozobot.com. This week's episode is titled Expert Insights from an Innovation Coach with Jessica Holloway. Jessica is an innovation coach, and after chatting a bit at the ASCD Leadership Conference in Texas last month, I knew she would make a great guest for the podcast, and I wanted listeners to get a behind-the-scenes look at her role as an innovation coach, along with some insights into hot topics in ed tech like AI and education. Jessica has lots of gems to share, and I can't wait for you to hear from her. Let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to chat about your role as an innovation coach, things that you're seeing, things that you're excited about. But before we get into all of that, can you share with us a bit about what your day-to-day looks like?
That's a interesting question to ask, because my day-to-day and my week-to-week never look the same. It is very specific to the needs of the schools in which I'm working with. So one week might be Monday is PBL planning at a specific school with teachers all day. The next day, it may be planning for an upcoming professional development with teachers. Then Wednesday, it may be personal planning time and then a team meeting. Thursday, it would be PD with computer science teachers in K-5. And then Friday is a STEM leadership meeting with some educators in the school. So really, my weeks and days look vastly different, but that's the exciting part of my job, is that I really do get to personalize and customize the work that I do to meet the needs of those specific schools, students, teachers that I'm working with.
And I can imagine that that's something that gets you into lots of different conversations, lots of different places, kind of getting some of those big picture ideas of what everyone is doing and bringing it back to the stakeholders that you support. So, you know, today we're talking about your role as an innovation coach, which may be a term that listeners are super familiar with, or they might not be quite sure what that entails. But how did you transition into this role? What skills do you think were really essential for success?
Yeah. So if you would have asked me 10 years ago, where do you see yourself? This would not have been the answer. I started out as a language arts teacher, and I thought I was on the literacy path that was going to be my direction. However, I am a professional development fan. So I go to a lot of PDs and I go to a lot of learning experiences that were outside of traditional language arts professional development. So I got curious about EdTech and this opportunity of a STEM fellowship with Public Education Foundation, a local organization in Chattanooga. And I was like, I want to try that. I want to see what STEM's about. And so ironically, I went around and asked all of the science and math teachers first if they were applying, because I didn't want to take their spot, which seems so silly now, but I really didn't feel like I belonged because I didn't see myself in the letters of STEM. So I applied, got in, and I was like, I started to understand STEM was more than just the letters. It's a way of thinking, it's a way of problem solving. And I was like, that belongs in my language arts classroom. So I really started cultivating it there, moved into an instructional school-based coach position, and continued that love of like learning and STEM and how can we redesign these learning experiences. And then my principal and I participated in an Innovative Leaders Institute, and the state of Tennessee has a STEM designation process. And we were like, yes, we want that for the school. So going through that process expanded my skill set and understanding of STEM and school-wide change. And as that evolved, I found myself spending more time doing innovative things around STEM and instructional technology. And this position was posted at, on part of the innovation team to support STEM across the district, innovative practices. And so when I saw this position was available, I was like, that sounds exactly what I would love to do. So let's see where this can go. Now, I will say my role has, it's in the fourth year and it's probably in its fourth iteration of what it looks like, but it continues to refine and be revised to meet the needs of the schools in our district. And I think that's what I like so much about it, is because it is responsive to what the needs are currently. And so it's not a static, I mean, there's generalized job description, but it's not a static, this is the one thing. Let's look at the things that are going to move student learning forward. Are there new ways of doing this? How might we redesign learning experiences to build those college and career readiness skills, connect to the community, empower those students to be owners of their learning? So it's a lot of co-creation, being a thought partner. Sometimes I feel like my title should be idea pollinator, because I'm in so many schools that I'll take a great idea here, share it there. And that also allows me to get schools connected across the district. We're kind of a large district. You could drive an hour top, bottom, and across and still be in the same district. So some schools never really talk to each other, but I find that they're doing something very similar and they could be collaborating and making the work lighter. And so I try to do that as well, as connect them. And sometimes it's also connecting our elementary schools to high school and letting them work collaboratively on a project, and some of those high schoolers being the experts to the younger learners. So I feel like I'm a bridge builder, idea pollinator, collaborative problem solver, cheerleader. It depends on what the day is. I don't mind doing all those roles because I feel energized when I go in and I get to work with the schools.
And gosh, as you're, you know, talking there, that I love that idea pollinator. It's such a great visual, right? That you are seeing all these great things. You're spreading the word about work that's happening across the district. You're supporting people in a responsive way. And, you know, as you were sharing too, I mean, we just saw each other at the ASCD Leadership Conference last month, right? Thinking about professional development, right? And your love, or both of our loves, I should say, probably for professional development, right? You know, those are the kind of things where, you know, the most effective PD is responsive, right? Is evolving. And I love that you incorporated that so clearly into even your own description of your role, especially since it has innovation right in the title, right? That you're innovating and that you're thinking about, you know, how to support everyone. And when it comes to ed tech or, you know, education technology, what are some best practices that you've adopted for supporting ed tech integration in the schools that you work with?
I really try to focus on what it is that they want accomplished with the ed tech tool. Because sometimes we get excited about a tool because it looks neat and it's exciting, and we try to force fit it and it may not be the right tool. So a lot of times, what do we want students to do, or how might this tool enhance what they're already doing? And then it's finding the right tool for that task. And so I don't like to say I'm the Debbie Downer, but sometimes I pump the brakes on things where they're just like, I was on Instagram or on TikTok and I saw this tool and I've got to use it. And I like the excitement of wanting to try something new, but it needs to be intentional use of what you're doing, because every time you use a tool, there is time that you have to acclimate students to how you use this tool, and it is an investment of time, and we've got to be intentional with those choices with our time in our classroom, because it's always the thing we never have enough of. So really thinking about outcome that you want and matching the right tool, and then it's just helping them build their comfort level and expertise in order to use the tool. And I'm a big fan of purposeful play with adults, I want you to just experience it with no risk, no purpose other than click the buttons, try the things, mess it up, and go through it as a learner, because it will build empathy for your students when you're asking them to do it. But then it also lets you anticipate problems or obstacles your students might face, which if you plan for those, will help you be more efficient with your time. So there's a lot of intentionality in using ed tech in the classroom.
Yeah. And, you know, as you are, you know, I want to ask you about AI in a moment too, you know, as you're saying, you know, about press all the buttons, right? Like, I think that's something I've been saying a lot in workshops I have led, you know, around introducing a tool like ChatGPT or something, right? Like, press all the buttons, like, choose your own adventure, like, try this out. It's the only way that you're going to really gather ideas for how this connects back to your work. And I think your reminder is so key for listeners too, like, especially in your role, where I'm sure people are coming to you, right? Or you're coming across things that are bright and shiny and exciting, right? There is that, like, okay, what's the intention here? Do I already have a tool in my tool belt that has these features? Like, do the kids already know how to get into something, right? That has single sign-on, like all those things that I'm sure, you know, come up, that although it might feel like that Debbie Downer, I'm sure sometimes it really is something that is a great reminder for people to, you know, optimize their time, and that they might have something that they've kind of tossed aside, you know, in their tool belt that is worth revisiting right now that they have some different context, or they've come across another tool that kind of does the same thing. So, you know, if you are talking about your role to, you know, friends, colleagues, or listeners here, you know, of the podcast, what advice do you have for other educators who are looking to take on a similar role as an innovation coach in their school, in their district?
Be willing to learn and be comfortable living outside your comfort zone. And it's a very humbling experience as a coach to realize you're never going to know all of the things about all of the things. However, you can ask the right questions, you can connect with right tools, and build your knowledge and expertise over time. But really, if you embrace learning, if you're willing to be a thought partner and realize you're not the expert walking into the room. And so if you have the mindset of, I'm here to co-create with you, I'm here to be your thought partner, collaborative problem solver. And there's got to be a little level of risk taking of like, this may fail, but we're going to fail and figure out how to do it better the next time. Because when you're innovating, you're going to try things that aren't necessarily all figured out. And with that, there's a little bit of risk taking and creating an environment where you say, all right, we're going to walk through this. And if it doesn't work the way we want it to, we'll reflect on it. We'll figure out how to make it work, what we can do better. And then also being able to collaborate and make connections with the community in which you work. And so I find a lot of times I like to give teachers experiences or connections to get them beyond their classroom, because it's remembering that we're creating the next generation of the workforce and leaders in this world. And so if our learning experiences for students are so far removed and disjointed from what they're going to experience when they leave the classroom, we're not setting them up to be successful. So talking with local businesses, organizations, industries of what skills do you need? How might we design something that gives them a similar experience that they're going to see when they walk out into the community? So I would say, that was a long answer, but short answer, be willing to take risks, be comfortable outside your comfort zone, be the lead learner, and have a little fun along the way.
That's the perfect way, I think, to describe what's necessary for someone who's walking into a role where things are evolving, things are changing, where people have questions that I'm sure, right, not everyone will have the answer to, right, or questions that nobody has the answer to just yet. And, you know, that kind of gets into this next piece I want to ask you, you know, which is around the topic of AI in education, something I'm sure you're being asked about in your role as an innovation coach. We've talked about it a bunch on the podcast this year, but you know, how are you thinking about the role of, you know, AI in education and in ed tech integration? Are there questions that you're getting from teachers and administrators about AI in the classroom? Would love to hear, you know, what you're thinking around this topic.
Yes, it's coming up a lot. We just started this conversation on our team meetings, and we've done some purposeful play and exploring some AI sites. Last spring, I had the privilege of going through the AI explorations course from ISTE with a group of teachers. I had teachers that represented K-5, 6, 8, 9, 12, and then an instructional technology coach as well go through the course, because I wanted all perspectives on what could AI in education look like. And to be honest, I was very overwhelmed. I thought I was going to like have to make AI. So the course like was not making AI. So that was a relief. But what I've found is that a lot of conversations are a narrow conversation around AI with generative AI. So everybody wants to talk about ChatGPT, but there's not a whole lot of conversation about machine learning, neural networks, data mining, and other components to AI. It's like if we went back 10 years and when everybody started talking about computer science and they were only talking about coding instead of all the other components, I think the same thing is happening right now in AI. We're only talking about generative AI because ChatGPT is very popular right now.
Yeah.
So that's the entry point people have. And then there's also like a fear of, is it going to take over? Is it just going to like outsmart us? And I think a lot of that is just, it's always the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And it's also a lack of understanding how it really works. So I think if we can inform like educators, but also like students and families of how like AI is only going to be as accurate. I try not to say smart, as accurate as the data in which it is given. So I tell them even if you're using ChatGPT and you're generating things, it's only working off the set of data it has. Now, if that data is coming from the internet, how reliable do you find all the information on the internet? So what it's outputting is only as reliable as the data that is being input. So I think a lot of it is understanding what AI really is and understanding the complete umbrella of AI and not just this narrow one lane. But it has a lot of conversations about academic integrity with students, about them having them write their papers or doing the work for them. So that's a big conversation. We have not landed on an answer, but it's definitely a conversation that is happening. It's happening with just everybody to take in and say there's a knee-jerk response of like, nope, we're just shutting it all down. No, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to pretend like it doesn't exist. We're going to go back to writing essays on paper. However, it's not saying, go back to not setting up students and families and educators about the real world in which you're living in. So we can pretend it doesn't exist, Or we can think about how can we leverage this as a learning tool, as a tool for efficiency, as a tool for good, instead of just the kind of fear factor. We don't know what this is. So we're going to hide it away and hope that it doesn't bother us.
And I think that's a really important perspective to share with listeners who are tackling what is AI? What does it mean for us? I love how your conversations around this were thoughtful and intentional enough to incorporate multiple roles, right? Where people are talking about their experiences and anticipating how this might connect with the work that they do. So, you know, Jessica, I really appreciate you sharing both your insights on what it means to be an innovation coach, right? What it looks like day to day, how it's evolving. And of course, this AI connection that I know so many people are asking both of us about. So I, of course, am going to link out so that everyone can follow along with your work. But for someone who's on the go, maybe making that quick mental bookmark, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
So I'm on X or Twitter and Instagram at Holloway Reader.
Perfect. And I will make sure everyone knows where to find you and stay connected. Thank you so much for your time today.
This is such a fun conversation. So let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from today's episode. Embrace risk-taking. Step out of your comfort zone. Take on the role of lead learner. Have fun along the way. Remember, you can find the show notes and full list of resources from today's episode, including all of the ways to connect with Jessica Holloway at classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 242. A big thank you to Ozobot, our sponsor for this episode. Ozobot creates award-winning programmable robots and STEAM-based learning solutions for K-12 education that empower the next generation of creators to discover new and exciting ways to learn. Starting this Friday, November 24th, Ozobot is offering up to 50% off on select products during their Black Friday sale, including one of my favorite learning tools, the Evo robot. Visit shop.ozobot.com this Friday, November 24th through Monday, November 27th to shop and save. That's shop.ozobot.com. Thanks again for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Whether you've been here for the first 200 or so episodes or tuning in for the first time today, so glad you stopped by. Make sure to hit that follow button on your podcast app. That way, next week's new episode will be waiting for you first thing Tuesday morning. I also have some bonus episodes on the schedule for the next few months that I know you'll want to check out too.